What's up? How y'all doing out there? It's your boy, the one and only Paul Pickett, host of the Paul Pickett Podcast, a.k.a. Triple P, a.k.a. the Common Sense Podcast, your source for music, sports, politics, world events, and more. Don't forget that the video version of this podcast comes out 3 days a week, and it gets uploaded to YouTube, Instagram, Rumble, and Facebook as well. And then we'll stream the video live on three of the Twitter accounts, which is typically Twitter at Paul P Podcast, Twitter at Paul W Pickett, and every now and then alternate from Twitter at Promo Palace LLC, Twitter at IndyCast, or Twitter at Urban Obsessions. Don't forget to follow definitely on Rumble, because the videos are monetized from day one on Rumble, unlike YouTube, which requires 4,000 watch hours and 1,000 YouTube subscribers. The 4,000 watch hours is nothing to sneeze at. That's a decent amount of watch hours, you know. And don't forget, the audio version goes to Spotify, Apple, Amazon, Deezer, TuneIn, Stitcher, Slacker, iHeartRadio, Player FM, Podchaser, Podcast Addict, and much more. Definitely follow me on those platforms as well. Before I get started, we're not going to talk too much, nothing NBA, but I'm going to talk a sports-related topic that I've seen, and then I'm going to get back into gun control, gun reform, and the mass shootings and things of that nature. But before I do, let's give you a word from one of our sponsors.
Me and my team will never be link up. They wanna be drink up. We sit down and relax and have few glasses when there's things to think about. Like I'm nice with the boss when I tend to the boss and I'm not talking drink ups. So tell the bartender that's tending the bar to please pass me a big cup up. And tell that waitress is waiting on us to put a little ice in it. Now watch the ice become weightless like the spaceships that I be sitting in. No wait and listen, no, they're waiting for that tropical twist. That'll tickle your taste buds. Now taste some. Now I insist it's the drizzle.
I insist it's the Dizzle. Do you Dizzle? Yes, I Dizzle. Dizzle brand premium luxury liqueur, a mixture of agave tequila, cognac, and orange liquor mango mix. That was Mike Dizzle, the creator of Dizzle brand premium luxury liqueur. At the end of the commercial, you just saw there holding up the glass saying cheers. If you want to order your very own bottle or bottles of Dizzle brand premium luxury liqueur, go to DizzleBrand.com, click on our locations, click on one of the top three links, 21 and over, must be 21 and over, and shipping and handling is included. Also, you can buy the Dizzle brand merch, which I'm going to be taking over sales for that here real shortly. Get the Dizzle brand hats, get the Dizzle brand shirts, go to Dizzle brand, click on the Dizzle store, and they got the hoodies, t-shirts, hats, and much more. Dizzlebrand.com. Do you Dizzle? Yes, I Dizzle. Let me get into this little thing that Shannon Sharp said. Because I didn't really react to this, but I want to react to the reaction to Bronny taking this little white chick to the prom. Like, the expectations that people have for people. Like, this is the thing. Like, you don't get to put expectation. I know we put expectations on people in society, especially athletes. But outside of what you expect they're going to do on the basketball court or the football field, you can't put any other expectations on them. Now you're just expecting people to do things that they might not expect to do themselves, and they might not want to do themselves. Everybody's not trying to be a social warrior, a hero. You know, everybody not trying to be a civil rights activist or leader, you know. And when people be like, well, it's not enough to not be racist, you have to be anti-racist. No, that's bullshit. It's enough to be not racist. That's enough. Everybody doesn't have to go out and march in the streets. Some people are not built for being a social justice warrior. Shannon Sharp, they asked him about what he thought about Bronny, the reaction of people, you know, going in on him, like, oh, because some people were saying, well, this is, you know, this was an opportunity for him to display a, you know, beautiful black female at the prom, but like, who are we to say what Bronny likes and what Bronny doesn't like? I know plenty of black guys that don't date black chicks at all. They're not going to date a black chick whatsoever because they just feel like they've had bad experiences and they don't like the attitudes of some of them. You know, I mean, that hood chick mentality, man, that's a hard thing to be around, you know. I've seen hood chicks knock dudes out with the left hook before of a bag of pork skins. You know, it's not an easy thing to live with. Shannon Sharp said, people would rather you be miserable with somebody of your own race than you being loved by someone of a different race. I totally agree with this. I mean, I was in love with a black chick before, not more than once. I was in love with a married chick that was half black. You know, it's like the heart wants what the heart wants. The eyes are attracted to what the eyes are attracted to. The mind is attracted to what the mind is attracted to. You know, I think people that put this expectations on Bronny, like, oh, you know, like, why is he taking a white chick? There's got to be plenty of black chicks there he could take. Well, maybe he doesn't like black chicks. Maybe he's not physically attracted to them. I mean, I am. But to be honest with you, there was a time in my life that I wasn't really, really mentally attracted to white chicks at all, really. Physically, yeah, but there was a time in my life I didn't even really go after white chicks at all. At all. There was a time, I mean, it was probably a decade of my life I didn't even look at a white chick. I just had eyes for black women. You know? And if somebody was to come to me and be like, well, you know, this is the opportunity for you to date somebody of your own race, I would tell you to take your opportunity and shove it up your ass. That's what I would tell you to do. You know, I literally have a black woman's initials tatted on my arm to this day. She's married now, but this Christina Renee Kroom. You know, I don't tell too many white chicks named Renee. So, yeah, man, like the heart wants what the heart wants. The eyes are attracted to what the eyes are attracted to. Christina Renee Kroom walked in the room one day, and I was just like, oh, my God. Like, I was hooked head over heels. You know what I'm saying? So I totally agree with Shannon Sharp, but it's 100%, man. I mean, people that – I know Dr. Umar takes this stance. And I'm not knocking people that want – they want to keep, like – they want to marry, you know, when a black man only wants to marry a black woman and only have kids with a black woman and have, you know, I'm not knocking that. But you can't be knocking the person that says, well, they want to have a kids with a white woman or the black lady that has want to have kids with a white man like Candace Owens, which I am head over heels of Candace Owens' beauty. I mean, she is drop dead gorgeous. If she wanted to cheat on her husband with me, I wouldn't have second thoughts on that. I wouldn't have second thoughts on that. I would literally risk that one. And I told myself, I cheated with a married woman once, and I thought it was stupid because, you know, I cheated at her house, and I could have put myself in a situation. I could have got myself killed, got her killed, got somebody killed. You know, if you are going to cheat, you got to be respectable about it. Don't cheat in your own house, man. Don't, you know, get, that's what hotels are for, you know. But yeah, people put these expectations on Bronny. Who the hell are you to put these expectations on Bronny? Let his parents have it. Let Bronny have his own expectations for himself. Then let his parents have expectations, and then let's just have expectations on what he's going to do on the court, you know, before we expect it. You know, have this expectations of Bronny is going to be a social justice warrior and this, that, and the third. You know, that's not everybody, man. We don't get to just put expectations on people that they don't want to put on themselves. you know, some people might just, Bronny just might want to be a basketball player and marry that white chick for all we know and just have kids and, you know, live a happy life. He might not want to be us nothing else. He might not want to use it. Everybody doesn't have to use their platform for change if they don't want to. We don't get to force people to be heroes and social justice warriors unless they want to be, you know? Like, that's the thing. Y'all be throwing this my body, my choice thing out only when it suits you. You know, y'all don't want my body, my choice when it comes to a vaccine or people using drugs or anything of that nature, you know. You know, so, yeah, I agree with Unk 100% on that one. And before I get into this last little topic today, because I'm probably going to be on this last little topic, it's kind of like a kind of going backtracking to this topic because a lot of new info is coming out. But let me give you word from one of our sponsors.
Are you a musician looking for music marketing and promotion? Then look no further than Promo Palace LLC, your one-stop shop for all music promotion services. Services include Spotify playlist pitching, YouTube video promotion, record pool promotion, blog placements, radio airplay promotion, SoundCloud promotion, and much more. With over 2,000 customers and over 10 years of experience in online promotion, Promo Palace LLC is a company you can trust. For more info, please go to promopalace.biz. See you there.
Thank you, beautiful spokesperson. That's right. You need marketing promotions, go to promopalace.biz. Been a pretty busy week for us. We do pretty much everything. Record pool placements, playlist pitching, blog placements, social media advertising, music video promotion, TikTok influencers, Instagram influencers, and much more. So promote your music, product, brand, or service at promopalace.biz. First things first, we'll get into this mashup thing. Unlike mainstream media, I said something that was on one of the last podcasts that was wrong with the info. Well, I thought the cops just had like maybe their 9mm or their holster guns. And I was wrong. They actually had cops out there with semi-automatics or automatics. So I was wrong on that. But there's a lot of new info that keeps coming out. You have people like Sean King saying cops went in there to save their kids and nobody else is completely false horseshit. People getting tased. There was a first responder that basically discussed where he was at the barbershop when he heard it. And I guess he's a law enforcement, but his he wasn't on duty at the time. So he's at the barbershop and I guess he asked his barber if he got a gun or a shotgun or anything of that nature. Cause he wanted to go over there. Cause he hears what happened. And so him and his barber head over there and they got a shotgun. Well, I know there's a lot of people saying the cops didn't do anything. That's really like not really, that's a little bit false. Like there was just so much going on. From what I'm seeing, you got the cops had to do the job of preventing parents from going in there. Like, because what do parents think they were going to? Let's be honest about it. We got to look at everything realistically. It's easy for parents to say what they would have did, but parents, if they would have ran in there with no guns, what are they going to do? They're going to stop a guy with an automatic weapon and get your kid back? What, you going to talk him down? And good luck with that shit. So the guy that was the first responder, he had a shotgun, and he was up towards the front door, and he wanted to go in. And his exact response was, when they were interviewing him, is, well, they said, why didn't you? Well, I felt like it wouldn't be a smart thing to do because I didn't have all the proper stuff on me. I just had a shotgun. And that's the thing. Like, people just start pointing fingers and blaming people. If the cops would have just rushed in, we don't know what the outcome of that could have been. Now, if the cops just rush in, now you got an all-out shootout between the cops and this crazy psychotic dude. And it seems like a lot of innocent bystanders are still going to get killed. Either way you look at this situation, it looks like innocent bystanders were going to get killed. If the cops just run in, well, guess what? He's got automatics. They're shooting across. He's shooting across. Bullets are bouncing off things, flying off everywhere. Who knows who gets killed? It's just like, how the hell do you prepare for some nutcase that kills his grandma and then runs up in the school and starts killing people? And even the first responder that was in the front with his shotgun, he said when he first got up there that there was kids coming up the out like windows and stuff like that. So he started helping them, you know. So, and there was pictures of cops helping them too. So cops had to help kids get out of windows. Cops had to prevent parents from going in and doing stupid stuff. They had to protect parents from going in and doing, like, what the hell are parents going to do? They have no guns or nothing like that. And then they had to assess the situation of, because even the first responder said that when he first went up there, he didn't hear no shooting. And he didn't hear shooting until later. And he was there for at least a good 10, 20 minutes before he heard shooting. So there's so many different accounts of these timelines. Like, he said that, out of his words, that it seems like they did the best that they could do under the circumstances. You got kids trying to break it out of windows, trying to get out. Cops got to help those get to safety. You got parents trying to run into the school. Like, what the hell are they going to do with a guy who's got an automatic weapon? I mean, it sounds brave and noble, but it's also stupid. It's also stupid. You know, like, you can't, that's the thing when you just think of, when you're thinking off of emotions, or, you know, you just go off of emotions. You don't put no common sense or any kind of sense to it. You just react, you know. And I could tell you that I wouldn't have just went in. I already said, if my nephew and niece was in that situation and I was outside, I would have got a baseball bat or something. But this idea that you're just going to walk in there, bare knuckles, and you're going to get your kid back without somebody got an automatic weapon. I mean, that's the most stupidest thing ever. So you had cops had to prevent parents from doing stupid shit. Cops had to get kids out. Then the cops, they had to assess, is this a hostage situation or a active shooting situation? And I think they made the assumption that it was going to be a hostage situation. And that wasn't necessarily the case. Maybe at the moment when it, you know, because there's so many different accounts of a teacher let him in, a teacher went out to get a phone, but they clearly got video of the teacher slamming the door shut. They would say that he was out there in front of 10 minutes in front of the school. There's other accounts that was 5 minutes in front of the school. I could tell you this much. It's easy for people to say what they would do in the moment when, you know, you really don't know what you would do in the moment. It's easy for people to say, I would have ran up in the school, da-da-da-da. Okay. Well, how many cops are going to get killed because of that? I mean, what, cops don't get to take into account that part of it too? I understand that Dan Crenshaw said that there was a part in the police thing that says if you're scared of these things, then you're working the wrong job. But it has nothing to do with being scared, as opposed to, you also got to be smart of, okay, if cops go in there and say four cops go in there and the guy with the automatic weapon kills all four of the cops. I mean, so now we're just four dead cops and more kids get killed. And now it just escalates even worse. Like, that's the thing. It's easy for people to say what they would do when you don't know what's going through this psychotic dude's head. And I wouldn't necessarily assume just because he killed his grandmother that he's going to run up in a school and kill a bunch of kids. You can't, one necessarily doesn't have anything to do with the other. You know, he literally could have started, you know, killing the kids because he was barricaded in a school. And then he just started getting so sporadic and so loose cannon. We don't know. We'll never really know what was going through this dude's head. I just know as soon as this thing happens, a lot of people are using this for saying lies for clickbait, like Sean King and people like that saying parents got tased, cops are going into school. That's horseshit. Because even the guy with the shotgun, the first responder, was like, he had a kid. He literally had a kid in the school. They asked him, well, why didn't you go in? Because I thought it would have been stupid. Because I didn't have the proper stuff needed to take to go in there. You know, so, and the guy that he went to, the guy that was his barber, if I'm not mistaken, that he went there with, his wife got shot and killed. So this guy has no reason to lie. There's nothing he could get out of lying. I totally believe every word that this first responder said out of his mouth. He literally got a shotgun. Him and his barber went up there in a truck. He says at first he was helping kids out the window. Then he grabs a shotgun. He goes up the front door because all the cops know him and everything, because I guess he's a law enforcement. He doesn't go in with the shotgun. Why doesn't he go in? Because it's just not that easy. Okay, you got a shotgun. Now you got to go in and take out a guy with an automatic weapon. How the fuck are you going to do that? Good luck. Good luck. Because I can tell you right now, your shotgun ain't shooting enough rounds compared to the automatic weapon. The automatic weapon is all over the place. You know, like, it's easy for people to say what they would do when they don't really know what they would do unless they were there. And if a guy who has a kid in there, in the school, has a shotgun at the front, and he's literally saying, it wouldn't be smart for me to come in, because it, first of all, him rushing in like that could just get his kid and a bunch of other kids killed. Like, you got to take all these things into account, man. But nobody takes nothing into account when they start point fingers or blaming, and they come up with these solutions. They don't think past their own asshole with these things. They just point fingers, say solutions, and don't even think about nothing coming out of their mouth. I mean, it's a tragic, fucked up situation. But how do you plan for some psychotic dude that's going to kill his grandmother and then kill a bunch of kids? It's enough that he killed his grandmother. And people are still, like, ignoring that fact. They're just like, screw the grandmother. What, you know, it's just all about the kids. Well, no, it's just not all about the kids, because it started with him killing his grandmother. And I saw what his mom was speaking. She was speaking Spanish, apparently, from the English interpreter was really kind of a little bit misinterpreted. She's just really saying that her son was something in his head was just, he's a nutcase. He was crazy as hell. How do you truly know that? How do you truly know that? I do know the Buffalo shooting guy, they already diagnosed him as a nutcase. And so that could have been avoided. He should have been already locked up. But, all right, so now people are like, all right, they're just automatically, you got Canada's like stopping all handgun sales. I mean, that's cool, but, you know, it's one... You know, that's about as far as Canada is going to probably be able to get. Because this idea that, you know, everybody in the country is allowed a gun to protect themselves, and then all of a sudden you're going to take that away from, try to take that away from them. Well, you're definitely not thinking of any kind of consequences whatsoever, because I know that's not going to fly in America. If the Democrats try to take away, because Biden's already trying to go after 9mm and stuff like that. I mean, I have a 12-gauge shotgun that shits in my closet, and I hope I never had to shoot it. It's only for home protection. I would never leave out the house with it unless I was just going to go target practice. And I'm definitely not going duck hunting or nothing like that, because I don't believe in that. Not with a gun. I would do it with a bow and arrow or a crossbow or something like that. If I'm going to go, like duck hunting, I'm doing a crossbow or a bow and arrow. So they automatically like, all right, well, gun control, take away the guns. Well, let's start with take away the guns. What happens if you take away all the legal guns? It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure that out. So you start coming in, you're like, all right, Paul Pinkett Podcast, we need just 12-gauge shotgun. We done took everybody else's shotgun, everybody else's handguns, the legal handguns and legal shotguns that we know everybody owns. What happens? The day after you do that, all the criminals start licking their chops. They just kick down my door. They run up in here. They put a gun on my head, take everything I got, and if I don't want to give it up, they kill me. They kill me for it. That's what happens. None of you people think about this shit past your own freaking asshole. You take away all the legal guns, everybody with the illegal guns are licking their chops, and now we're all freaking victims. We're all victims. You can't even walk to the grocery store no more without a freaking machete or a sword. Better yet, you probably need a damn bazooka. You know what I'm saying? Like, nobody thinks about these ideas past their head. Okay, so that's one thing it leads to. It leads to every civilian getting robbed and killed, robbing and stealing. All the criminals are just robbing and stealing and killing. Mass robbing and stealing and killing. You thought the mass shootings were bad. Take away all the legal guns and see how it's going to be 1,000 times worse. Facts. 1,000 times worse. What else is going to happen? Well, you're going to have civil war, because guess what? We're not all going to give away our, we're not all going to just willingly give away our guns that we legally bought, that we have the rights to own. And you're not, you don't, now we don't have no right to defend ourselves no more. What am I supposed to, I'm supposed to defend myself with a steak knife when a criminal comes in with a legal gun? Even if he just comes in with a damn six shooter, what am I supposed to do? Use a, I'm supposed to attack him with a steak knife? And hope he just doesn't hit me with six rounds? Hope all six rounds miss me and I get him in time with my steak knife? And if I don't got a steak knife, what am I supposed to use? A butter knife? Oh, no, I get it. You're supposed to have a taser. You're supposed to tase him. While he's got a gun pointing at your head, he's supposed to tase him. You know? Y'all don't think about these consequences past your ass. Now, okay, gun reform. Maybe there could be some gun reform. I'm already a component of, I don't like hunting as a sport, so we could get probably take away like using guns as hunting as a sport, but at the same time, that's not the problem with these mass shootings. Guys that go duck hunting with their 12-gauge shotguns. Because I can tell you right now, most people are using like 12 gauges and buckshots when they go duck hunting. They're not using like automatic weapons. They might use that on deer and stuff like that, you know. But this idea that duck hunters and deer hunters are the problem of mass shooting, nah. And that's the thing. Switzerland has more guns than we do. They don't got mass shootings. So what kind of problem is this? This is a culture problem. This isn't a gun, and it's not a gun culture problem. It's a gangster culture problem. I mean, look at America. We glorify being a mobster, an Italian gangster, a urban gangster, a cartel drug lord. We glorify being a hood drug kingpins. We glorify, the queen pin, the drug queen pin chick. We glorify drug dealers and gangsters in America. That's what we glorify. And I'm probably guilty, because I do love me some good gangster movies. And I do listen to a lot of gangster rap, and I have in the past, but I'm not stupid enough or dumb enough to glorified. Like, this is some cool thing to be, when it's not. It's not a cool thing to be a, you know, cocaine kingpin, or, you know, fentanyl kingpin, or a heroin kingpin, or a crack kingpin, or, and even though I agree that agree with some people that drugs probably should just be legal, like, the war on drugs is really bogus, because drugs probably should be legal. I mean, once again, my body, my choice. It's a freedom of choice using drugs. You know, and that's the thing. Like, we wouldn't have drug kingpins if drugs weren't illegal. So you get where I'm going with this? You know, we probably wouldn't be glorifying drug kingpins if drugs were legal, because there wouldn't be no drug kingpins. The drug kingpins would be, you know, like some company like Johnson & Johnson, or, you know, some mainstream company, some corporate company. Because if it's legal, then some corporate entity is going to be the ones, you know, selling it. And then there's also going to be, if it's legalized, there's also going to be control over it, where you're not going to be putting out dope that causes you to overdose, where they cut it with fentanyl. You won't be cutting coke with fentanyl, you know what I'm saying? You'll cut it with other things, you know, that are not as harmful. So there's that. And then gangbang, I mean, we've always glorified, you know, even the urban gangs have glorified and looked up to the Italian gangs. Everybody's pretty much glorified and looked up to being a mobster and whatnot. And none of us really would think their life would be so glorifying if we lived it. Because if you watch most mob movies, like if you watch Kill the Irishman, everybody they showed in the movie they named is either dead or in prison. They're all dead or in prison. So I think America, yes, we glorify the gangster culture, whether it's Italian gangsters, narco gangsters, urban gangsters. And let's see, urban gangsters are definitely part of the mass shooting problem, because urban gangsters just shoot up a whole block. They'll shoot up a whole block just of innocent bystanders just to try to kill one person, and not have any remorse or second thought about it, you know. But okay, gang culture. What helped start the gang culture in Chicago? How about the government prohibition, legalizing alcohol? How about that intensified? The government is to blame for intensifying gangster culture when they made alcohol illegal. So it just goes to show you, why is the drug war like it is? Because drugs shouldn't be illegal. Drugs need to be legal. Alcohol should have never been illegal. Marijuana should be legal. That would help stop prison reform. That would help a lot of prison reform. Because think about it. We're locking up drug dealers with armed robberists, rapists, and cold-blooded murderers. Well, what do those three things have in common? They're violent criminals. Well, I could tell you what a drug dealer doesn't typically have in common with a rapist, a cold-blooded murderer, or armed robber, is that he's not a violent criminal. He's just a drug dealer. The only drug dealers that are usually violent criminals are drug dealers that are the gangster drug dealers, the gangs that are running the drugs. That's when it gets really violent, when gangs are involved of selling the drugs. If it's just one individual selling drugs, he's usually not killing nobody, fighting nobody over territory. He's just selling drugs. And that's the thing. It's not about territory no more, because nobody stands outside and sells drugs, at least not here, especially not in the summer. That might be going on in Baltimore and certain places in New York. But for the most part, most people are in the trap. They don't stand out on the block. Most people ain't on the block no more selling dope. They're in the trap. We don't trap, no, we trapping now. We in the trap selling dope. So that's changed. The culture of selling drugs has changed from staying on the block, which was dumb as hell anyways, to being in the trap. You know, because, I mean, damn, when you're in a trap, all they could cop could see is traffic coming and going. I mean, they still got to be able to catch you with dope inside the trap and all types of stuff. It's easier to catch you with dope outside the trap because they're inside the trap, they're going to need a warrant every time. Outside of a trap, they don't need a warrant to arrest you. They just need probable cause. And they can damn near invent that half the time. You know what I'm saying? So, yes, there could be some kind of gun reform. I talked to my friend about this. Like, you know, I try to compromise. Like, okay, well, what about first with sport? Well, I mean, then if you take away guns for sport, then you got to take away target practice. And if you're going to own a gun, you need to know how to shoot it. Target practice can't be taken away, so you can't take away gun for sport. Now, I was like, well, what about people just going up into the grocery store? Should you have to leave your gun in the car or something? No, because what if somebody goes in the store and starts mass shooting the store? Or they don't got to even be a mass shooter. What if one person goes up there with a gun and starts robbing the store? And things get out of hand and they start shooting people. You never know. See, it's easy for people to say what they would do in these situations until you had a gun put to your freaking face or a gun put to your gut. It's not a great feeling. And, you know, you don't got time to sit there and think of, you know, whether this person will shoot me or not, because it's a 50-50 chance that they will or they won't. The odds are with you or against you 50% of the time. So there's that. This situation could have been handled so much better. I do agree with that. The shooting could have handled so much better. But then, like, okay, compare it to, like, the Boston shooting. Well, okay, that was a shooting with some racist scumbag piece of shit goes in and starts shooting up a grocery store, if I'm not mistaken, a predominantly black neighborhood. Do you not rush in automatically for there because there's a lot of adults? Or, I mean, that's the thing. Do we rush in the school because it's kids and not rush in the Boston shooting incident because they're adults mainly? Does that change the quickness or speed of going into this spot? No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't, because you still got to go in there in a manner where you prevent innocent bystanders from getting killed, and you prevent yourself from getting killed, because if you don't prevent yourself from getting killed, how are you going to prevent the innocent bystanders from getting killed? Like, there's a lot of variables that have to take into account to this. Are we going, is he going to, what if we got to go upstairs? Does he have the high ground? Do we have the low ground? Where is he barricaded at? Can we get a sniper in? There's just so many variables, and it doesn't help when you got parents out there trying to rush in there, which if cops just let parents go, I guarantee if the cops would have let all those so-called Superman parents run in there and think they were going to save the day and save their kids, they would have most, if not all, would have got shot and killed by the guy with the automatic. And when they would have said, the police just let all these parents run in there like deranged mad men and women, you know, and another thing I got to look at is the Democrats have been calling the police. They've been calling the police force And I mean everybody on the police force, dirty cops for the last some odd years. You know, like, I can only imagine if I was a cop and I had to go to work every day and hear I'm some racist, white supremacist, dirty cop when I'm not. That would not make me feel better about doing my job one bit. To be honest with you, I would have been quit. I'd have been like, fuck this shit. It's not worth it. You know, because that's the thing. We got to take into account. Y'all been calling all cops white, racist, dirty serial killers that out here hunting black people every single day, trying to find black people to kill. Y'all been saying that for the last year or two. And they're supposed to feel better about doing their job. They're supposed to feel good about going to work every day. No. They're underpaid. They're underpaid to run up in a school with a crazed, deranged guy who killed his grandmother with a semi-automatic weapon. You're underpaid. They're called racist and dirty cops all day. Every last one of them. Don't sit there. Anybody try to say that the Democrats did not accuse every single cop in America from being some racist, dirty, scumbag cop. That's horseshit of a lies. Every freaking Democratic city is doing that shit. That's why they went through for the defund the police movement, because they accused them all from being some dirty, scumbag cops and shit. And they're not all dirty. Yes, there's dirty cops. There's cops from the take. There's cops that are profiling. There's cops that have planted evidence. There's cops that are stealing drugs, stealing money. But it's not the majority. And if it is, it's only happening in a city like L.A. or New York or Baltimore. It's not happening in Fayetteville, I can tell you that much. I can tell you, cops aren't beating people up in Fayetteville every single day. They're not stealing money from people every single day. They're not stealing drugs. I can tell you right now, that ain't going on here. It ain't going on like that here. And I wouldn't be surprised if common sense and common knowledge would tell us there is literally a dirty cop in every single city. I would argue that, like, major city. I don't know about small towns and stuff like that. You get in small towns where there's only like a sheriff and maybe three or four deputies. I don't know we can necessarily say that the whole police force is dirty when there's only like four or five people in a small little town. But you get big cities, I guarantee there's a dirty cop in Fayetteville, North Carolina, and Rayford, North Carolina. There's at least one. And yeah, one is too many, but this idea you're always supposed to find the one needle in a haystack is once again, man, y'all living in a fairy tale world, man. Y'all living in fairy tales, fantasy world. And let me tell you another thing that fucks up any kind of real justice in society. This bullshit snitch code that civilians try to take on. Let me throw it out. Let me just throw it out on the table for y'all. Snitching only applies for criminals. So when you're a civilian and says, oh, I can't talk to the cops, I can't give them information, all you're really saying is you're a dishonest scumbag, piece of shit, liar of a human being. That's all you're really saying. Because the snitch code doesn't apply to you. If somebody tries to break in my neighbor's apartment, you know, be honest with you, I'm not even going to call the cops. I'm going to go out there with my shotgun and I'm going to play sheriff myself. I'm going to go out there with my shotgun and be like, can I help you? You in the wrong neighborhood with that shit, motherfucker. You might want to go next neighborhood over. And I would expect, you know, and then I would probably call the cops and be like, yeah, you know, I don't think, like, that's the thing. Like, if I feel like it's something that I could just go out there with my shotgun, because, like, I'm not going to, and that's another thing. Like, I'm not just going to sit here and wait and watch them break into my neighbor's house And then they call the cops. Yeah, somebody just broke in my neighbor's house. Come get them. No, I'm going to go and do what you're supposed to do as a good neighbor. You know, how you're supposed to be in a community. But there's no communities in the United States no more. It's just every man and woman for thyself. We're just living in hoods now. You know, but I don't think that way. I know my neighbor next door to me. I know the neighbor next to her. I know the neighbor next to them. I know the neighbor next to them. And I would know everybody in my whole little apartment L spot, the whole L-shaped section of my apartment, except for the last person that don't ever come out the house. And why is that? Because I make it my business to be a good neighbor and be a nice neighbor and let my neighbors know, hey, you know, I'm a good neighbor. I'm a nice neighbor. You know, so if I see anybody breaking in your crib, I'll be sure to either go over there with my shotgun and stop it from happening, or I'll call the police. But I would rather just go to my shotgun and tell, yo, you're in the wrong neighborhood. You better get the hell out of here before I call the cops. Because then I'm letting somebody just break in my neighbor's house, take shit. They might get away. No, I'm going to go and do what neighborhood watch or community should do. Go out there with my 12-gauge. With my shotgun belt around throw my shotgun belt on, grab my 12-gauge and go out there and be like, yo, can I help y'all? Or can I help you? You in the wrong neighborhood. You about to call the cops on the ass and get the hell out of here. And that's that, you know? So, yeah, man. But most people ain't even going to do that. I'm going to tell you right now, most people are not going to do that. They're not going to grab their 12-gauge and go stop somebody from breaking in your house. They're just going to let somebody break in your house and that's it. They're not going to even call the cops. So this no snitching thing, it doesn't help either. Because if you're a civilian, why are you sitting there trying to play the I don't snitch code? Now you might as well be a criminal. You might as well be a criminal. Because it doesn't apply to us. You know, if I see somebody kill somebody out in my front yard or out in the street, no, I'm not going to sit there and tell the cops, like, no, I didn't see nothing. Hell yeah. It was that motherfucker right there. Or this is what the fuck he was wearing. This is what the fuck he was looking at. Like, lock him up. I heard Federal Star say something, and I'm going to have to get off here soon. I got 12 minutes left before it's the hour mark. Federal Star said something, and I lost all respect for him. They were talking about Young Thug and him getting locked up, and whether they're guilty or not, but this has nothing to do with what he said. He said, nobody should be locked up. What? So, what do we do with a rapist and a cold-blooded murderer? We buy him a fucking mansion and give him a slap on the wrist? I mean, come on, man. Is Federal Star that fucking stupid and that scumbag of a fucking human being? He knows good and well if somebody fucking killed Sticky Fingers, he would want that motherfucker dead or in prison. Stop it. He knows good and well if somebody fucking raped his wife or his kid or anybody he loved, he would want that motherfucker dead or in prison. He probably want him dead, but if he can't kill him, where the fuck is this idea that he wouldn't want him in prison? I mean, are you that fucking stupid and scumbag, Federal Star? I hope that ain't what Sticky Fingers thinks. I hope Sticky Fingers don't think that nobody should ever be locked up. Nobody? Child molesters, rapists, cold-blooded murderers. Somebody goes and puts an armed robbery on an old white lady or old black lady or old black man or old white man. We're supposed to just say, hey, they shouldn't be locked up. Somebody go robs an elderly person or just rob somebody in a convenience store, puts a gun in their face. Nah, we shouldn't lock them up. They shouldn't be punished. This shit is cool. So, okay, see, this is what I'm talking about. This is exactly, it's proving what I'm talking about. We glorify being gangsters and thugs and mobsters and armed robberists and killers and drug dealers and drug kingpins and all this shit in America that shouldn't be glorified. This is a culture problem. Not in just black culture, white culture, black culture, Hispanic culture, Asian American culture, all American culture, period. We glorify gangbanging, killing, robbing, stealing, selling dope, pimping. We glorify pimping, you know, which is no different than like sex trafficking and human trafficking. It falls in those lines, you know. We glorify all these things that shouldn't be glorified. So it just goes to show you that people just think they're above the laws. They think there shouldn't be no laws. It, you know, mankind, it should be a free-for-all. Every man and woman for thyself. You know, it's like in New York, the guy calls and somebody's trying to break in and rob him and beat him. And he called 911 and they're like, well, sir, what do you want us to do? The city's under attack. Good luck, you know. So it's easy for people to say what the solution is when they don't think about the consequences. It's easy for people to say what they would have did in a situation when they don't know what it did, because they don't think about the consequences. You got to think about the consequences of running up in a school with no gun and somebody's got an automatic weapon. Well, you're not saving anybody that way. I can tell you that much. You're not saving nobody that way. You know, and so, yeah, I mean, it was fucked up. I definitely believe. I definitely believe the cops probably should have went in there sooner. Let me get that out of the way. The cops should have went in there sooner. But it's easy for me to say that. It's so easy for me to say that when, you know, unless it's my niece or nephew in there, I don't know that I'm that heroic to just go up in a school and try to stop some guy with an automatic weapon that just killed his grandmother. I don't know that I'm that heroic, man. I don't know that I don't really want to be a hero. You know, do I care about helping people out? Would I help people out? Like, would I just, you know, like when I got hit by a car, somebody, you know, a lot of people just kept going and only a few people stopped. It just goes to show you, be honest with you, we all not that decent in life. The majority of us are not really that decent. We got to stop this horseshit of analogy, this false narrative, like the majority of us are really that decent. It's bullshit because I got hit by a car by some old white lady and most people just drove past like, who cares? So what? And I could have freaking died. Only a few people came to help me, complete strangers. And I can tell you, the person that hit me with a car was the last person that came over to see. They didn't even come over to see if I was okay one freaking time. They didn't even come in the hospital to see if I was okay. None of that shit, you know. So this idea, I would give a rat's ass what happens to that lady at this point. Because she didn't care what happened to me. She almost killed me. And she didn't care that she almost killed me. So this idea I'm supposed to care about anything that happens to her? Hell no. That's not how it works. You know? I'm sorry, man. The bitch hit me with a car. The bitch didn't even fucking see if I was okay. I will, if she already dead, good for her. You know? Because, I mean, shit. She didn't give a rat's ass that she almost killed me. I'm supposed to care about somebody who almost killed me and they didn't care that they almost killed me? No, man, that's just the dumbest shit in the world. Y'all reading too many fucking Bibles. Y'all reading too many make-believe Bibles, man. Fairy tales, imaginary bullshit, man. But it's easy to say what we would do when you've never been in that situation or don't know what you really do in a situation, because most of these people aren't even thinking about the consequences. You know, they're just going to act. So you just run up to school bare knuckles. Give me my kid. Bow, 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 bow. Oh, you're dead. Next person, run up with a bare knuckles. Give me my kid. Well, this is really going to work. You know, they got to have some time to fucking plan this shit out. Like I said, there was just so much shit going on. You got kids going out of windows. They got to help kids get out of the safety out of windows. Kids, I mean, you got parents trying to run in like they were actually going to be able to do something. You know, then they got to decipher if it's active shooting or it's hostage. And how do you really know? You know, and then you got conflicting, you know, reports on time frames of the shooting. And, you know, I'm hearing a first responder who clearly has no reason to lie. I clearly believe him 100% saying there was no shooting going on while he was there. with a shotgun, and his kid was in the school. His wife actually worked at the school and got the safety. I forgot to throw that in. His wife worked at the school and got the safety across the street. So he was trying to go find his wife, and then he and his kid. And when his wife called, he's like, "All right, now I gotta find my kid only." So, and he didn't even go into school with a shotgun because he said it wouldn't be smart for him to do it. Because, damn, I mean, if he gets killed going to try to rescue his daughter, okay, well, then that doesn't help rescue his daughter. Who's to say that doesn't make the guy flip out and wig out even more and kill even more people and more? We don't, it's easy for people to say, man, it's fucked up though, man, but. Fucked up shit has been happening in this world forever. Forever. We've always had crazy motherfuckers, man. You know, I mean, it's always been like this. Once again, thank you for tuning in. I'm going to end it off with a Paul Pickett podcast commercial. This your boy, the one and only Paul Pickett, host of the Paul Pickett Podcast, a.k.a. Triple P, a.k.a. the Common Sense Podcast, your source for music, sports, politics, world events, and more. Please check me out 3 to 4 days a week on my video podcast on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Rumble. And check out the audio version on Spotify, Apple, Amazon, Deezer, TuneIn, Stitcher, Slacker, iHeartRadio, Player FM, and much more. Peace. See you there. Once again, I want to thank y'all for tuning in. This is episode 151, Paul Pickett Podcast, a.k.a. Triple P, and I'm out.